I thank you that, Lord, we don't have to go far for missions, that we have people knocking on our doors. And God, you have, I believe, you have called them to our homes so that we can love on them. So I pray as we take a look at this group of people, Father, that have been deceived in so many ways, help us to understand how to love, how to reach out, how to show compassion, and how to make a difference for your kingdom, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm wondering if you've ever been home at in the evening and you just finished dinner and you're just having your cup of tea, because you don't drink coffee, and you get the knock on the door. You know what I'm talking about? You get the knock on the door and you're thinking, okay, it could be the neighbor wanting to borrow the lawnmower again. Last time they borrowed it, they didn't fill it up with fuel. You're not sure if you'd answer. It could be the mailman. It could be that package from that lost uncle who's got you in his will. It could be the mother-in-law. You turn off the lights. No, I'm kidding. You go to the door and two wonderfully dressed young men wearing a beautiful suit or tie and having a little badge that says missionary. You've seen them? You've had them come to your door. So what do you do? Well, most of us say, look, we don't have time, or I'm a Christian already. Slam! We took care of that one. Woohoo! And we go back to our regular scheduled program, right? See, here's the problem. The problem is I do believe that God has brought them to our door. And I do believe that we have a responsibility to share the love of Christ, even to some of the most very, very difficult people in our community. I want to talk to you tonight about ministering to the Mormons and what that means. And I want you to know that, as Pastor Les said, there is so much that I can say that it was overwhelming. I had 38 pages of notes here this week, and I thought, like Pastor Les said, I didn't want to keep you till midnight. So I'm going to try to condense this very, very much so. And I really want to focus on how can we show kindness and love to these folks when they come to the door. So let's start by talking about who they are. The Church of Latter-day Saints, they call themselves, or the Mormons. They don't like to call themselves the Mormons. They like to call themselves the Church of the Latter-day Saints. It is the fastest growing and the most successful of all cults right now in the United States and probably in the world. They estimate right now that there's an average rate of 300,000 converts a year. Think of that, 300,000. And you know what's scary is 75% of those converts were regular church-growing people like you and I. And I thought about that when I read that. I thought 75% of the 300,000 are people that are coming to church every day, a church like this, and have turned away and have joined a Mormon church. What is it that draws people to this cult? Why such a deep, deep desire to join? Well, I was on the SkyTrain a while back, and there's two Mormon missionaries on the SkyTrain walking back and forth, and I'm observing them. Great guys, young guys, talking to people. And you know, very effective, incredibly effective. They were talking and sharing kindness and sharing love and how are you doing? And just showing empathy. And people want that. People need to know that people care. And I'm wondering, if sometimes we as believers are not as open to not just share kindness to others, but open in, as well as to sit down and listen and to hear the challenges that people are going through. This is what the Mormon Church does, and they do it very, very well. So let's talk about who they are a little bit. We all know who this guy is. This guy's name is Joseph Smith, 14 years old. When Joseph was 14 years old, he got a so-called vision. Two people he believed was God the Father and God the Son appeared to him. And said to him, Joseph, we've got a message for you. And Joseph was conversing with these two beings, and he says, I'm ready. I need to know from you, what do you want from me? What church do you want me to join? And these angels or beings said to him, we don't want you to join any church because they're corrupt. And we need to change that. A little later on, the angel Moroni appeared to him by his bedside and says, I've got a message for you. I've got a gospel for you that I want you to be prepared to share with the world. And it wasn't long after that, a couple years later. Now remember, this guy is a young man of the age of 14. Okay, a couple of years later, so he's now 16, he apparently finds these golden plates, okay? And then what he does, and you know the story, he takes these golden plates and he translates them using what is called a seer stone, a stone that he fires into a hat, and he calls out to an interpreter, or to a scribe, should I say, the words that he wants written down. And this is how they get the Book of Mormon, another gospel. Can I remind you of something very, very important? Can I remind you of Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 to 9? It says, but even if we or an angel from heaven shall preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. If somebody comes to you and says, I've got a message from God, it doesn't matter who it is. If it's in the church, and if it doesn't line, listen, if it doesn't line up with this book, then you got to reject it. It has to line up with the Word of God. And so when somebody comes to us and says, I've got another gospel, that should be a clear sign to say, I don't think so. Right? So anyway, Joseph, he says, he got this message and he begins to write about it. He says, this is the message from God. This is what God has given me. It's true. There's no deviation from it. And so he begins to interpret this message. And he begins to establish a different doctrine. He writes four other books come out from the Mormon church, or three other books. There's four books in total that they hold to. There's, of course, the Bible, which is no longer relevant, by the way, to the Mormons, because it has been corrupted by people like Pastor Les and myself. We've corrupted it, Pastor Les. I hate to tell you that. There is the Book of Mormon. And there's a couple other books, the Doctrine and Covenants and the Pearl of Great Price. Well, so Joseph Smith, he begins to proclaim this new gospel. And it wasn't long that he got himself into trouble, because down in the United States, there was a newspaper that in 1843 that found out that he's promoting polygamy. So they take this guy and they throw him into prison. Okay, and he's in prison for a while, and while he's there, he had 200 followers of his that came to the prison to try to get him out. And what happens is that while they're trying to get out, somebody sneaks in a six shooter. You know what those are? Remember those things, right? They sneak in a six shooter. There's actually a gunfight. I don't know if you all know this, but I was surprised when I heard this. There's actually a gunfight between the 200 Mormons and the guards at the time. Joseph Smith kills two guys. Joseph Smith shooting, somebody shoots him and kills him. And he dies, not a martyr. He dies a murderer. So I want you to be aware of that when it comes to the history of this church. In steps this guy. This guy's name is what? Anybody know? Brigham Young. Brigham Young takes over Joseph Smith. And in 1847, he says, man, we got to take this church and we got to move it from where it was at. Okay, and they moved it from Illinois to the Great Salt Lake, to Salt Lake City. And this guy was an interesting guy, a very, very interesting guy, actually. He was quite a bit extreme. See, at that time, he pushed for the death penalty for any white person that would marry an African American. Okay, and so what happened was that he believed that in the beginning, remember that the conflict between Cain and Abel, right? So Cain kills his brother. You remember that? What happens? God marks Cain. And so the mark that God put on Cain was a mark of a skin color. And therefore, and this is what they teach, therefore anybody that has a different skin color is actually a descendant of Cain and is actually cursed. And therefore you should not in any way have anything to do with them or marry them. It wasn't until 1978 that they allowed black folks within their ranks. Actually, if you take this book and you look at 2 Nephi, chapter 5, verse 21, it says in their book that blacks are cursed. So I looked at that and I think we've got a problem from the very beginning, right? So let's talk about, we know a little bit about the beginning. Let's talk about what they believe. It's super important that we understand that they are unshakably committed to Joseph Smith. There's nothing you can say about Joseph Smith that would make them doubt how great a man this guy actually was. If you go to the Mormon Church or the Latter-day Saints Library, any Latter-day Saints Library, they will have a volumes like this. And in it, Joseph said, I've done more than any man, including Jesus Christ. This is written in the LDS, History of the Church, Volume 6, page 410, if you want to see. He says, man, I've done more than anybody else. He says, people have run away from Jesus, but have never run away from me. It's interesting that if you go to that volume, volume 6, go back, or sorry, volume 2, volume 6, two pages before that, okay, before this quote, he wrote that he was offended because someone had accused him of having seven wives. And he says, I don't have seven wives. I've only got one. How dare you? That quote was written, by the way, in 1843, March of 1843. In March of 1843, he's right. He didn't have seven wives. He had 33. Some of them that were still married to other men. So we've got a problem. But that, you know, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter what you will say. The facts don't matter. Joseph Smith is still divinely appointed by God. And everything that he says is correct. So he, of course, when he wrote this book, he said, this is the full gospel. There is no deviation. It is exactly what God wants from us in this book. But you know, after a while, he realized maybe there's a couple of parts that are missing. So he actually said there's 13 key doctrines that I forgot to put in it, and God forgot to put in this book. So you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to write them, and he writes them in the doctrines and covenants that he wrote. Let me give you some of the things that they believe in, some of the doctrines. They believe in the plurality of gods. That they believe in polytheism. They believe that there are millions of gods. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are only three of those millions. There are millions and millions and millions more of these gods. They believe that God is an exalted man. They believe that as an exalted man, he was once a man that went through the ranks and he became a god. They believe in what is called progressiveness, which means that any man, good Mormon man, can someday become a god. So they believe that God is an exalted man. They believe that Jesus is a created being. He is separate from the Father, Elohim, as they call the Father. He was created as a spirit child. Basically, what they believe is this. They believe that there are gods in the celestial kingdom, and these gods have sex. And these gods, in their sex, they create these spirit beings, and then these spirit beings are wandering around the celestial kingdom for years until someone down here has a child, then that spirit enters into the child, into your child. Okay, so this is what they believe. So they believe that Jesus Christ was actually a spirit child between a Father God and a Mother God in heaven, and he became the elder brother of all men and all spirit beings here on this planet. His body was created through sexual union, it says, between Elohim. Later on, God, Elohim, came down and had sex with Mary. I'll talk more about that in a little bit. What do they believe about salvation? Salvation is something that we believe when we ask Jesus into our life, that he comes in and he forgives us of all our sins. This is what they believe. They believe everyone is resurrected by grace, but saved or exalted to godhood by works. And these are the works you got to do in order to get into godhood. You have to have faith in Christ. You have to be baptized. You have to be a member of the LDS Church. You have to be keeping the commandments, the Mormon commandments. You have to be involved in temple work. And you have to accept Joseph Smith as God's absolute mouthpiece. There is no salvation outside of the Mormon Church. What do they believe? They believe a human being's ability to become God. Guys, you can become God. Ladies, not so much. Sorry about that. See, here's the thing, ladies, here's what's going to happen to you according to the LDS teachings. What's going to happen to you is that someday when you die, you may be able to procreate and make other spirit children. So you'll get there. You can't become a god, but you'll be able to have other spirit children. Isn't that a great deal? Woohoo! Right? I'm sorry, I'm being very facetious here. So they believe that. They believe that there are 3 degrees of heaven. There's a telestial, terrestrial, and celestial, which is the highest. Telestial is that kingdom that those that did not receive Jesus, they'll suffer and they'll go through a time of tribulation, but then they'll find themselves in the telestial. The terrestrial is like the moon. It's the second level of heaven. And the celestial is the highest heavens, and that's where all good Mormons hope to go someday. You will, if you are a good Mormon, you will achieve this higher state of being, and you will someday own your own planet, and you'll be a god, just like Elohim is a god. You will become that as well. If you are apostate, that means if you do not accept the church, or do not accept Jesus, do not accept God, or if you are a murderer, you will go to utter darkness. Other beliefs that they have, I really want to run fast because I don't want to spend too much on this stuff here. Other beliefs is they believe they can't have any alcohol or tobacco or coffee, hallelujah, or tea. Oh, I like my tea. They believe in the baptism for the dead. I wish I had time. I'll just give you one quick illustration, I know some of you know this. They baptize people in a baptismal tank that's 6 feet underground. I remember hearing from a Mormon years ago, a person that changed from Mormonism to Christianity. He says that when he went down, he baptized for his dead ancestors or dead people. He says when he went down in the water, he says his mind was so filled with violent thoughts and with all sorts of darkness. He said it was absolutely putrid. But they believe in baptism for the dead. They believe in holy undergarments. I don't have a lot of time to talk about this. But they believe that as we believe in the armor of God, okay, they believe that they must wear these undergarments at all times. I was going to show you a picture, but nobody wants to see anybody in their underwear, so I didn't do that. So, and they believe in secret temple rituals. But polygamy was, actually, it's interesting because in the very beginning, Mormons taught that polygamy was an eternal doctrine and it had to be practiced in order for them to get to heaven. Now, they've changed since then. There are those that still believe it, but not all Mormons. Okay, so all that about them. Okay, we know a little bit about them. That's so much in a nutshell. How do we minister? How do we minister to the Mormons? And this is where I want to spend a little bit of time on. First of all, let me explain something, and this is super important when it comes to the cults, all cults. It's not by, Ephesians 2, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourself, it is a gift of God. What does it say? Come on. Not by work, so no one can boast. You cannot earn your way into heaven. I want you to understand something about the Mormon people. They are very, very unsettled, and they may look like they're very self-confident and self-assured, but they lack confidence because they have no idea if they're doing enough to somehow gain that entrance into heaven. They're always asking themselves, am I doing enough? Have I done enough for God? Have I knocked on enough doors? Have I done things to make him happy? Am I worthy enough? You know what the answer for them is? No, you're not. No, you haven't done enough. Nor have you and I. We could never do enough to earn salvation, right? It was because of what? It was, you have been saved through what? Through grace, through faith. It is a gift of God. And we have to bring them back to Romans 3, verse 20, where it says, no one is righteous, not even one. Romans 3, 23, all have sinned and come in short of the glory of God. Let me look at them for just a minute. When you have a Mormon missionary knocking at your door, and you've had them, they're usually between the ages of 18 and 20. They're a young teenager. They're a typical teenager who is questioning the church, who is questioning their life, who is questioning everything. They have not received a lot of education, folks. They have not gone through years and years of training. Actually, what they have done is they've probably spent the last 6 weeks or so in intense missionary training going through this book. It's called Preach My Gospel. They are told to memorize this thing, and so they don't know about theology. They don't know about all the answers. They don't have them there for you. And let me tell you something, and if I can please get you to remember this. These teens are struggling and need to have your kindness shown to them. A door slammed in their face is not a Christian thing to do, okay? Are you with me? It's funny because I was watching a video clip on, it was a spoof done by the Mormons, actually, a spoof on Mormon missionaries. And I didn't have time to put it up here. We didn't have time to watch it. But it's quite interesting in how different people treat them and stuff like that. And they make fun of it and stuff. But it's so very true. They're young kids. They're trying to figure out life. And we got to show them kindness. So how do we reach them? Well, we got to build relationships with them. We got to build relationships. Don't rush it. Lay a foundation. Listen, can you invest? Can you be willing to invest in one of those people that come knocking at your door? And if you don't have time that night, can you say to them, listen, I really want to take some time and I want to talk to you. I want to hear from you. Why don't you come back? Always be loving. Always be respectful. Get to know them, first of all. Missionaries, they're excellent, sincere people that they're overworked. They're trying hard to make things happen, but usually they're quite happy. And sometimes they say the dumbest things. We had two girls, I was telling Patricia this, we had two missionary girls come to our door a couple months or so back, maybe not even, came knocking at our door. And they're very, very sweet, and, you know, they're talking about different things and that, and then they said something, and I thought, oh, girls, please don't say this again. They said, is there anything at all that we can do for you? And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, I'm a 50-year-old guy with two teenager girls standing at the door. These are things you don't say. They're very naive at times, and they need to have your compassion, okay? They need to understand that you care. Get to know them. Tell them, secondly, tell them that you are listening. There it is. Tell them you'll listen. And do listen to what they have to say. Listen to their life story. Ask them. I'm going to give, at the end of this, Pastor Les has got a bunch of sheets. Okay? Do you have them here? At the very back, there is a thank you. There is questions you can ask and areas you can admire. You can admire, and I'll talk about that in a second, but there are a bunch of questions you can ask these folks that aren't intrusive, that aren't overbearing, just things to get to know them. Things like, tell me about your spiritual background. What is it like to be a Mormon? What gets you most excited about being a Mormon? What scares you about being a Mormon? Listen to them. I believe, folks, our responsibility as Jesus followers in this day and age is not to beat people over the head with the Bible, okay? Not to stand on this corner. This might help us work in some areas, but not to stand on the corner and scream stuff at them, scream scriptures at them. People don't want to hear that. But they want us to be willing to listen. In any circumstance you are, listen, and God will open the right door for you. So be willing to tell them that you'll listen. Thirdly, so important, don't hold them accountable for all the wrongs that Mormonism has ever done. They're 18 to 20 years old. They don't know about Brigham Young. They don't know about Joseph Smith. They don't know about polygamy and all the other atrocities. They don't know about this stuff. You know what? And it's not their responsibility. Are you hearing me? We need to show them kindness and hope, and don't hold them accountable for the fact that Joseph Smith had 33 wives. Like it's got nothing to do with them. And you're just going to get yourself into a debate that you don't want to go. Understand their terms. And what I mean by that is understand what they are saying when they talk to you. So you're going to sit down with a Mormon, and they're going to talk about, they believe in grace. They believe in heaven. They will not say much about hell. They believe in Christ's suffering. They believe he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. They believe he went to the cross. He died. He rose again. They believe all that stuff. And if you listen to them, it sounds so, so much like what we believe. On the front side is all the terms. Please read this. Please read this. It's all the terms, the Christian terms, like the throne of God, the virgin birth, God, creator, hell, heaven, Trinity. All that's written on here. What we believe and what they consider that to mean. So you'll talk to them and you'll be sitting there going, I don't understand what the difference is of what they believe and what we believe. It sounds so the same. But if you begin to understand how they interpret the terms and they're on this piece of paper, then you'll be able to share clearly, a little bit more clear about them. So I'm not going to go into that. You have to look at that yourself. Number five, tell them what you appreciate about their faith. See, Mormons love being Mormons. They really do. They're happy to be a Mormon. They like being in the Mormon church. They do a lot of stuff for the community. They do a humanitarian work. There is a grocery store down on King George and Price Smart or something like that. It's down by 64th. Price Pro, thank you, Price Pro. It's a great store. They got stuff there, it's very cheap. They've opened that store, Mormons have opened that store to help people out who were maybe into, were involved in all sorts of stuff like crime and so forth, and they employ them, they do some good work. Honor them for that. It's not like you're agreeing with Mormonism. You're agreeing with some of the things that they do, and that's important that you build that bridge. Can I say it's so important? We don't burn bridges; we build bridges. Christianity is about building a bridge to people that need Jesus. You following me? It's not about pushing them away. It's about pulling them in and letting them know that we care. Tell them what you appreciate about their faith, and then share your story. This morning I said to the church, and I so encourage you to do this. Write out your story. You should be able to share your story in 3 minutes or less. You should actually be able to share at least a snippet of your story in an elevator, okay? You should be able to talk to somebody and in 10 seconds or less, at least share something that will tweak their interest. Share your story. This is what Jesus did for me. This is how, and they're probably going to say, yeah, Jesus has done some great things for me as well. But see, here's the thing. They don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus, by the way, is just one of the other gods. He's one of those many, many gods there. So they don't really understand all that. But when you share, hey, I've got a personal relationship with God. Here's what happened in my life. Here's how God helped me in my life. And share your story. Don't have to be preaching at them. Share your story. But then it's so important that you explain Jesus. Explain Jesus, because to them, Jesus was just one of the gods, one of the many gods. When Elohim and the goddess in heaven, or the woman in heaven, had sex, they actually had two children. Okay? The first child was Jesus, the second child was Lucifer. Okay? And so what happened was I don't have a lot of time. What happened was when they came down to this planet, when God came to this planet and mankind began, and God said to the brothers, I want you to, which one of you will go out and save the planet? And there was a squabble between Lucifer and a squabble between Jesus, and Jesus won, and Lucifer got very ticked off, and that's what caused a breakup between the two brothers. When you look at what Mormons believe about Jesus, one of the founding Mormons, one of the 16 Mormon prophets said this. He was asked, do you believe in the traditional Christ? His answer was this, no, I don't. The traditional Christ of whom they speak, us as the believers, as a Christian church, is not the Christ of whom I speak. For the Christ of whom I speak has been revealed in this, the dispensation of the fullness of time. He, together with his father, appeared to the boy Joseph Smith in the year 1820, and when Joseph left the grove that day, he knew more of the nature of God than all the learned ministers of the gospel of the ages. They believe that dad and son came down and talked to Joseph Smith and gave him the gospel. Build a relationship. Build a relationship with the folk, with these people. Number eight, be prepared for how they will respond to your request to pray for the Book of Mormon. They're going to ask you this. They're going to give you this book, and they're going to say, I want you to take this book, and I want you to pray over it, and pray that God would reveal if this is a right or not. You know, my answer to that is very simple. If you hand me the Quran, if you hand me any other book, any religious book, I don't have to pray about it. Because, see, here's what I do. I hold everything in light of this book here. And if you take a look from a scriptural perspective, and I encourage them to do that, I encourage them to take a look at Acts chapter 17, verse 11, where it says that Bereans were more noble. Why were they more noble? Because they checked out what Paul said according to what was written in here. And I always tell, I encourage you, don't be swayed by them trying to tell you to read or to pray over this. It will come out in a conversation over in time. Just tell them, you know what? I know what I believe. I know the Bible. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. Don't use straw man arguments. You know what? If you gave a Mormon a dollar for every time they heard the comment, aren't you guys a polygamous group? They'd be rich people, right? They'd be very rich. Don't go there. Don't go there, especially not with these young kids. Don't talk about the holy underwear. Right? It's not going to help. It's not going to help. Don't use arguments that aren't going to go anywhere. Everything I do when I talk with the cults, every time I go to one topic, doesn't matter what, I go to Jesus. There's nothing more important than Jesus, right? Right? So you go back to Jesus. Don't use those kind of arguments. And can I, and I want to end by talking about this. I want to tell you, be encouraged, Mormons do become Christians. We actually have some in our church that were Mormons at one time and are loving Jesus today. Let me tell you about a couple. Let me tell you about this young man here. And if I can encourage you, go to YouTube and watch his story. It is so worth watching. The guy's name is Micah Wilder. Micah Wilder, young guy, was a Mormon. He grew up in a very strong Mormon home. His parents were leaders in the church. His mom was a professor at the Mormon university down in Salt Lake. He was baptized in the Mormon church. He was strong. He went on his missions journey, okay? Two years are required to do this missions journey. So he went on this missions journey. And he came to a house of a pastor, a Baptist pastor. You know, the Baptist pastor didn't push him out. He actually invited him in. The Baptist pastor actually sat down with him and said, share with me, talk, let's talk. And the Baptist pastor brought him to a couple of scriptures. He brought him to Titus chapter 3, verse 5. It says, he saved us not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He brought him to Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10, we read it earlier. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. And then he gave him this challenge. And this is written on the back of this thing. This is one of the questions I encourage you to ask a Mormon after you have developed a relationship. He gave him this challenge. He said, I want you, or would you be willing to take this Bible and would you be willing to read it like a child? That's all he said to him. Would you be willing to read it like a child? And he said, I will make you this promise. If you are willing to read this Bible like a child would read it, he said to him, I promise you God will reveal himself to you. So the guy took the challenge. During his mission journey, he took this challenge and he started to read the New Testament. And he said that I read it and I couldn't believe what was written there. Because they're not encouraged to read that. They're encouraged to read this. Has anybody ever read the Book of Mormon, by the way, here? Yeah, there's a few of you that may have tried. I've tried, and it is so complicated. It is so, so very, very complicated. By the way, on a side note, one thing that you can ask a Mormon about this is you can take your Bible and you can take the Book of Mormon, and you can take and you can tell them, I want you to go to the very back of your Bible. What's at the back of your Bible? Maps, right? Yeah, yeah. What's in the back of the Book of Mormon? Nothing. An index. Why is there no maps? It talks about all sorts of places in the Book of Mormon. Talks about all sorts of places in the Bible. I've been to some of those places. I've been to a lot of those places this last year. But because there is no, some of these places don't exist, right? So you can't put them on a map. Anyways, back to this guy. He started reading the scripture and God started to reveal himself. Here's the question, by the way. God started to reveal himself to this young man. Before his missions trip was over, he committed his life to the Lord Jesus. Before his missions trip was over. And then he says at the end of his missions trip, every one of the missionaries are required to go before the committee and say what they've learned. He says, I was terrified. He says, I went through before the committee. He says, this is what I learned. He says, I learned that there is a God. There is a man named Jesus. And he, in fact, is what the scripture talks about. And he began to share what he had learned from this word. And then he had to go home. Now remember, his dad and his mom are high-ranking people within the Mormon church. You could be thrown out of your home for that. And he gave him this challenge. Says, Mom and Dad, this is what happened to me. And he says, somebody told me, read the Bible like a child. Mom and Dad, can you do that? High-ranking Mormon officials. Check out when you go to his website, you'll get a link to his mom, to Wilder. I can't remember her first name, but Micah Wilder's mom. And she began to read this, and she said, "You're right." His mom and his dad and his brother came to know Jesus. Okay, I want to end with this. Okay, people need Jesus. People need Jesus. They need our love. They need our compassion. They need our friendship. They don't need a door slammed in their face. They need our prayers. Next week, Pastor Les is going to talk about the Jehovah's Witnesses. Listen, they need Jesus. They really, really, really do. And if we can come to a place to see them, not according to this, the Book of Mormons, but if we can see them according to through the eyes of Christ, because he loves those students. He loves them so, so much. And his desire is to see them in the kingdom. Can I encourage you, when they come knocking at your door and they've got a name tag, write down their names. Pray for them. Invite them in. Don't give them coffee or tea because they're not going to drink it. Give them a glass of water or a glass of juice, something without caffeine. They don't drink caffeine. But invite them in. Be sensitive to them. And I think there might be a possibility we might see another Micah in the church. So God, I pray in Jesus' name, help us to love people like Christ did, who gave himself on the cross, who gave himself up for our sin and their sin as well. Lord, there's so much more we can say about these folks, these Mormons, what they believe and all that. I pray, God, that you would help us to love, to understand them, yes, but to truly love them as you love them as well. Give us opportunities, God, to share the love of Jesus with them. Give us opportunities to develop a friendship with them. Give us opportunities to ask them this very pertinent question. Would you be willing to read the Word of God like a child? And would you change them, Father, from where they are at to a place of surrender to you, full surrender? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.